Welcome to We Are Libertarians Daily. I'm your host, Sarah Brady Wagner, here with my co-host, Hody Johns.
Hi.
Today, we are going to talk about modern monetary theory. So we all know and love the Federal Reserve. And this is really the way that our money system works based on the Federal Reserve and sovereign currencies in general. So we're going to really dive into that and try and give a kind of an overview of a very complex system of understanding how our money even has value today.
It's so hard to go about it in podcast format or even in any type of audio format, because in all economic systems, there's all kinds of equations. But it's very easy to make it basic. I was very impressed by, Thomas Sowell has a book called Basic Economics that he updates every so often. And he makes a point to recognize that economics is not necessarily currency. And you don't need graphs and equations, because all it is talking about is how we exchange goods and how we value those goods.
And so, I always think it's funny. You can joke, if you want to piss off an economist, you remind them it's a soft science.
Yeah. Just be like, yeah, only the real mathematicians are using graphs. You guys are just more philosophers. That is a good way to say it.
So economics is really just boils down to an exchange between individual actors in a society. And those actors are sometimes individual people, sometimes companies, but in this case, we're all bound together by one shared currency, which for the United States is U.S. dollars.
Dollars and cents.
So why does our money have value, Hody?
Well, we are a fiat currency, which is one of those small but complicated words. It's a four-letter F word to all libertarians. And it actually doesn't. And it is, we've been using funny money for a while. And all that means is that our currency is only valued by the value that we give it. Now, you may know pre-gold standard, theoretically, you could take your dollar bill and turn it in for gold. However, I, being the ever-thinking economist, kind of think of that as really we only give gold the value that we ascribe to it as well. So it's hard to imagine a currency that isn't some type of fiat currency, if that makes sense to you.
It does to me. I mean, any time that we say something has value, it's only worth how much you can get from it, how much you can get from somebody else. So we can say, there are economies that have actually pegged the value of their money to milk. The idea just being you want something that you can guarantee everybody's always going to want. With fiat systems, that just means everybody's going to want dollars.
Or at least that's what we hope. And so part of that is buying into it, which is really the most difficult hurdle to modern monetary theory for me, is saying, boy, we hope you still value this. So,
well, to me, this is the answer to the age-old libertarian question of why do we pay taxes? You know, the answer we hear a lot is you pay taxes is the price you pay to live in a civilized society. And my understanding of modern monetary theory leads me to the conclusion that taxes are the price that we pay for using dollars. Because under modern monetary theory, or MMT, just shortened going forward, that's really one of the main functions that taxation serves, is when you pay your taxes to the United States government, you have to use dollars. Even if you earn your money in a different currency, even if it's now through Bitcoin, you still have to then turn those into dollars by whatever exchange rate you're able to get, and you have to pay your taxes in dollars, which allows the United States government two very important functions. The Federal Reserve and the U.S. Mint together are able to issue currency, and taxes are able to take that money out of the system. So as much as we think of budgets as like a ledger, where you've got money coming in and you've got money going out, the thing we have to remember with modern monetary is it's not a flat ledger anymore. That in between taking money out of the system and putting money into the system, there are a lot of equations and balancing that goes on there. Because your goal is not necessarily to have perfect one-for-one balance. That would just maintain the money supply and wouldn't necessarily stimulate the economy in the way that modern monetary policy tries to.
Right. And so here's the jump for modern monetary theory is the system we're under currently is we have a national income identity equation. And the identity is a lot like gender identity in that you can identify yourself. You say, this is how we value this. This is how we value that. And so what we did when we got off of the gold standard, and a lot of other countries did this at the same time as well, and there's a reason for that. But let me tell you what the equation is now. Basically, our GDP, which is our total stuff. That's what I always think about. When people think about money, like I have a lot of money, we really don't care about money. I mean, dollar bills are paper, right? But what we care about is the stuff that we get from money. So under our current equation and pre-MMT equation, we say the GDP equals basically all spending. Consumer spending, government spending, investments, and our net exports. And so that just makes sense when you say, well, our stuff is equal to the amount that we spent. Now, that doesn't actually balance how, like, so before in a gold standard equation, we gave the value to the dollar. You'll notice values aren't actually in the equation anymore. The only way we're actually limited into like inflating or overinflating the system is by other countries saying, I don't think your stuff is actually worth $7 million. Your loaves of bread are actually worth $7 million. And that's how you'll see them really hurt themselves. Modern monetary theory, MMT, changes that identity equation. So it becomes government spending minus taxes equals savings minus investments and minus net exports. So then suddenly, the way the dollar is balanced, the way your stuff is balanced, GDP is gone. It's not even in the equation anymore. It's just saying the government stuff that it spends is equal to the stuff that the people have and the stuff that they spend on. And that's how an MMT economist balances the new money system, which enables us to print and create deficits and not be worried about deficits.
Yeah. So under this system, there's really no reason to worry about deficits because the only thing that could, there's no real idea of a bad fallout that could come from that. Now, that's not necessarily saying that is, you know, the truth. That's kind of one of the difficult things when you're discussing economic theories. Again, being a soft science, there's not a whole lot you can necessarily prove. I mean, that's not how science works. You can't prove anything. You can only disprove things. So this is the main reason why you have, especially on the left, it's really popular among progressives. MMT is why we don't have to worry about the deficit, why it's silly that people on the right are worried about the national debt at all, because according to this theory, it wouldn't matter. Because the government's budget is not limited by taxation. It's only limited by how much it wants to spend.
Right. And so you kind of get the have your cake, eat it too bit. I am describing it as unbiased as we can. We'll get into our opinions, I'm sure, in a few minutes here on MMT. But I'm just trying to, create like the groundwork so that people understand MMT, where they're coming from. It's different than Keynesian economics, because Keynesian economics works in our current system, pre-MMT, to say our debts aren't that big a deal, because if you run up a credit card debt, unlike a credit card where you have to pay it in your lifetime, it gets passed on to your kids. And so as long as you don't inflate that credit card debt more than the population grows, you're going to be okay. So that's kind of the Keynesian way of saying that that debt is okay, or deficits are okay.
Under MMT, the big concern would be runaway inflation. So the biggest worry would actually be that you would destroy your currency, in which case theoretically you could throw it away and create a new one because it's a fiat currency.
Right. And you can throw off the whole reason we have these income identity equations is to keep it. There's supposed to be a way to keep you honest, to keep your economy honest, to say, hey, other countries, don't worry about our dollar, because here's how we're keeping it all in check and all in balance. Otherwise, people sell your debt. They don't do business with you. So it's really a way not, it's a macroeconomic and it's an international macroeconomic for us to describe how we keep our dollars in check, how we keep them balanced, how we make sure we don't overspend, underspend, how we can't just build a theme park in everybody's backyard and say, oh, don't worry about it, everything's fine. The income identity equation says, here's how we're making sure that our resources balance with our spending.
So how does this work to people's advantage? What is the good outcome of this theory that leads us to, that has led economists then to say, you know, this is the way I think that our money system is working, and this is the outcome of that?
Sure. So I think the biggest benefit, in my opinion, and I'm going to turn around and ask you that same question. I think the biggest benefit from what I have read of it is that the government, and this may even appeal to some libertarians, although I will get to later why definitely not all libertarians, but the government is actually limited to spending only 50% of what you're able to spend. And now that is a very expansive government compared to what we have now. Our government does not spend 50% of what we currently spend. So it would be a greater chunk. However, there's nothing under a central banking federal system that stops the government from spending 100% of the money it creates right now. And so if we balance this way, we have to say our people are in charge of spending 50% and our government's in charge of spending 50% as well. It simplifies taxes a little bit because you can say, like, the equation is the government spending minus taxes on the other side. Well, you can get even make those taxes pretty close to zero and just run deficits because it's not really a matter of trying to get those back. You only have to get taxes. Let's see, the number you have to subtract is investments and exports. So taxes would become very low. It's just the government's keeping more of your money than what you're used to getting. So that's kind of, and the idea there is that, well, I shouldn't say the idea. The benefit to the question that you asked is that the government then can spend more and do more, as well as be balanced by the people knowing how much they're going to be able to spend and receive as well. So yeah, same question back to you.
So what I like about MMT is, one, it requires you to really kind of take a different mindset on how you're thinking of our economy and the balances. But it also leads to you to realize that there are some ways that we are still functioning within our economy and treating it like we're working off of you know, a hard currency, something that's pegged to something that's finite, whereas we're not. So one thing that's been brought up by MMT enthusiasts is that under our current system, the Federal Reserve is responsible for issuing currency.
Yeah,
but that the Federal Reserve is not necessarily critically required to maintain the system, and that right now the way that the government injects money into the economy and into just circulation is both through printing money, but more than that, it's through spending money. It's through government programs and output that, you know, anytime the government pays a bill, that's the government putting money into the into circulation. Theoretically, you could set up a system that would actually allow, that would issue that money directly to individuals and allow them to then inject it into the system, which would create the basis for a UBI without, it's not that it wouldn't necessarily increase taxation, but it, again, it's thinking of taxation in a different way in that they're not taking money from you, but that this is necessary in order to keep our current money system viable. So, you know, you can go with money in one direction of Bitcoin, where you're trying to have it to have a finite value again, or you can go in this other direction, which is MMT, where you can say, okay, well, we're not working with a finite currency anymore. So how can we create and wrap our capitalist system around it in a way that still allows for individuals to have maximum freedom?
And that point you just made is key. That right now we're so used, and for me, who's lived my, I've lived my entire generation, my entire life post gold standard. So it is very tough to think about sometimes as money being based on something other than GDP or other than stuff. That's how I think of money, is like, it isn't a matter of
government's always been able to print money.
Right.
Yeah, and it's what it feels like.
Yeah. And so when I measure stuff, I say, well, I got a dollar. That's one McDouble at McDonald's. You know, that's how I measure it, is a matter of that. And it's a mental switch as well, because we're no longer basing it on GDP. We're basing it on saying the government spent this amount and I'm going to spend this amount. So the next phase of this question, and I will answer this as well, what is your biggest gripe with MMT, or the toughest hurdle that you have for it? What might be the libertarian objections to it, or your personal objections to it?
My personal objections, first the libertarian objection would be that it does, essentially it forces you to use dollars. So it doesn't allow flexibility within currency. It doesn't allow competition within currency. You know, even if you use Bitcoin, you have to then convert that into dollars in order to pay taxes, which you are required to pay under threat of force. It makes taxation something that is you're literally forcing someone to use your monetary system, and that's it. That to me seems like the most obvious libertarian objection. But my biggest concern with it is, it seems like such a really beautifully well done house of cards that, there's very little to give any guarantee to it. You know, because there's no intrinsic value, which again, we started off debating even the concept of intrinsic value to begin with. But, if we have an issue with runaway inflation, or if we have an issue where, even when it comes to other currencies, because there are so many different currencies now that peg their value to the dollar.
Yes.
If any one thing goes wrong, it really impacts the entire system. You know, you see this now with any time we have a financial bubble burst, or just even a blip in the markets, it impacts the entire globe, because all of our financial markets are so intimately intertwined, because they're all just based off of faith on one another.
Agreed. And furthermore, you should check our show notes. I know I probably say that every episode, but I have a list.
Very good this time.
Yes. I have a list of three different Keynesian economists, right, that are fine with accumulating debt, that all say MMT is way too extreme, way too far, and really provides no constraint for deficits and debts. And they all have written essays about why it's just too much, why it wouldn't work. Now, there are obviously economists, otherwise this wouldn't exist, that are in favor of MMT. So this isn't the be-all, end-all, but we should know that there's even some cases, even Paul Krugman says it makes the government too big. So that should scare you a little bit when a big government guy says, oh gosh, that makes them really big, you know? And so I have some essays from them in the show notes that are worth checking out, what they say about it. As far as my own personal issue, I think the single issue is much like the whole thing with national income identity, is that it helps other countries say, okay, I believe that keeps your dollar in check, and so we will continue to do business with you, and we'll continue to hold on to your debt, or, you know, do transactions, trade, that type of thing. This equation is not going... there's somebody who theorized it in all these countries, and almost all of them are like, well, if we did that, other countries wouldn't value us anymore. Because it's not just selling it to us, because we've actually had a couple heads of the Treasury Department who have favored modern monetary theory. But it's making everybody else's treasury at the same time saying, okay, we're good with that. We trust that your government will keep it under control and that you will balance your spending this way. Right now, GDP forces us, our stuff forces us to maintain that balance, because that's the income identity everyone is using. Almost everyone is using. Nobody's hopped on MMT yet. If we hop on it, and we can be the only country on it, that's fine. But we have to sell it to other countries to say, this will keep our dollar in check and make sure that everything is balanced. And based on the writings of MMT theorists, it's not promising that would keep the dollar in check because they tend to promise big things in order to sell it to the population, and they aren't trying to sell it to other countries, in which case they need to sell it in a small, sell small promises for it instead of grandiose promises.
The one thing I want to say just to add to that is that whenever you're talking about monetary systems, especially, like I said before, it's important to remember that they're all theories. And then in this case, what you're talking about when you're talking about the national identity equations are, this is literally just talking about, like, what theory are we all going to agree that we're probably working under? So when we're talking about MMT and Keynesian economics and, you know, Hayekian economics, these are all systems where somebody says, this is the way I think things are working. And the question of which system we're using internationally is just a system of, like, okay, well, even if we're all wrong, we need to all be wrong together so that we are all working on the same standard.
Exactly.
So, you know, even if MMT is accurate and it's like, well, this is the way that your money currently works, that doesn't necessarily mean that anybody has to acknowledge it.
Yes. Everyone in our government right now, pretty much everybody non-libertarian in the government would support an MMT. I mean, it enables the government to spend vastly more than they do right now. And so it's not a matter of selling it to our Congress. They would love to do it. You have to sell it to Germany and Brazil and Panama and Russia and Australia. You know, you have to get all those guys to buy in on it together. I think that's an astute point, Sarah.
Well, please be sure to check us out on Facebook, on Discord chat. Be sure to check out wearelibertarians.com and get involved in all the social medias. Hody, is there any last thoughts that you wanted to make sure to tell the listeners?
Man, I think we covered most of it.
Complex subject. It's hard, like you said, it's hard to do kind of over audio.
It is, but I think be broad with it. I think if you need to study, don't necessarily get tangled up in particulars. I think allow yourself to be creative and flexible when you think about it, because a lot of these people who came up with this are dealing with things that are actually quite simple. How much are we investing? How much are we saving? How much stuff do we have? And it's easy to apply difficult words to them. But ultimately, what they're dealing with is no different than what you're dealing with at a grocery store. You know, if you were trapped in a grocery store with 100 people to say, okay, we need to split up this food, you know, based on who can cook it, who can provide it, everything like that. It's something that you can theorize about in your head. And that does, and that makes you a valid person to study economics and does not at all disqualify you from it. I think a lot of people say, I don't have a master's degree in it, so I should probably butt out of the conversation. To quote Thomas Sowell again, he said, you had three choices when you vote and when you study economics, and that's to be either informed, uninformed, or misinformed.
Well, we hope that we have done everything that we can to give you a good, accurate information.
I think we have, but I mean, that's me.
If we haven't, then please tell us.
Yeah, let us know. We're open to moderate amounts of criticism and extreme amounts of compliments.
Well, either way, be sure to get connected and we will talk to you again soon.
Yep. Have a good one.